All right.
The Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
I was reading the text screen and someone says, hey, you should do the post-show pre-show. Or you should do it after, you know, and put it after the show on the back side of it and talk about the bits and then you hear all the bits and then that. My problem is everybody doesn't get to the end of the podcast.
Yeah, and then it'd be the post-show.
Yeah, and it could be very easily. We could record it and just put it on the end of it.
Okay.
What's everybody's thoughts on that?
I like the pre. I like setting it
up. Yeah, me too.
But yeah,
I like tomato, tomato.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, I mean, we could do a post-show, pre-show, and a post-show, post-show.
We could do knocking both out. Amy's like, nah, I want to go home. There was a drunk guy who took a cab to sleep at his parents' house. Did you guys see the story?
Oh, yeah. He took a cab to his parents' house. Only problem is parents moved.
Yeah, it wasn't their house. And he went to sleep on the couch. And the people woke up and they were like, wait, what?
Oh, no.
Yeah, the woman came downstairs. Her two kids were asleep. She came down to get something to drink and he was on the couch. She calls her husband at work. Her husband at work comes home and wakes the dude up and drives him home. Like, they don't even call the police.
Yeah, they had patience with this guy.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
I think for me, because I'm such a wimp, I probably would have just started hitting him. Or even worse, just called the cops immediately. Didn't have a conversation.
Immediately. You don't call your husband at work. Hey, honey, there's some random dude sleeping on our couch. What should I do? Oh, here, I'll clock out and I'll come home real quick.
There's a lot of risk involved. What if he wakes up and...
But you can handcuff him.
While they're asleep? Tell me more, Amy. What's happening to your house?
Yeah, what do you do?
Well, just to make sure that they don't do anything to harm you. And then you can figure out the situation and handle it accordingly. Call 911 or have your husband drive him home.
Yeah, I don't have handcuffs in my house.
Yeah, me either, Amy. Are you talking about the fuzzy ones? Yeah.
Rope. Or use
Amy's
rope.
Like, Amy's like, take your furry handcuffs.
Everyone has them.
Whatever. Duct tape.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you do what you do, you know?
Okay.
That's the deal. I did see Lunchbox's Instagram where you recreated the Baker Mayfield picture.
Yeah, he was endorsing some underwear in front of a nice car with a tiger, so I was like, man, come on now. I can do better than that.
That's pretty funny, though.
Yeah, I look pretty good.
It's like automatically the post-show pre-show. You're like, all right, the yawn's got to come out.
Oh, I'm built for a show. As soon as the show's over.
As soon as we're done, you start yawning.
Whooshka.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that. Well, I get, what? Yeah.
But instead of a tiger, Lunchbox had a teddy bear.
Yeah, wait.
It was a monkey.
Yeah,
it was a monkey.
Sorry, I didn't have a tiger laying around. I had a stuffed monkey, and I was like, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. You know what he did yesterday, though? I took that picture for him. And you did? Yeah, and Morgan number two helped out, and he sent us a nice little thank you note afterwards. He said, I'm trying to do something a little better in my life.
He did?
He said, he sent us a text and said, I'd like to thank you guys for helping me. Thank you.
Wow. Like, because Eddie always is, you never say thank you. Whenever anybody helps you, you never say thank you. And I was like, fine.
I'm just trying to help you out, dude.
Well, or he gets mad if I don't give him photo credit. Like,
that photo credit annoys the crap out of me.
Like, I'm like, dude, like, sorry.
Go ahead.
Especially if you're getting paid to take pictures and that's your job. Your credit is your paycheck. That's your credit.
That's kind of how I feel sometimes. But he always like, where's the photo credit? I'm like,
why are you deflecting on me? I'm telling you how you did a nice little thing where you said thank you.
I'm explaining why I did it, because you always get mad when I don't say thank you or give you photo credit.
There you go. I inspired a positivity.
Almost not a worse person than photo credit person.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Remember when you used to steal my photos and not give me photo credit?
No.
Oh, he would steal directly from my Instagram unless he took it. That one really made me mad. I said, I'm going to start putting watermarks on my picture.
But I did that just to mess with you. I was actually stealing it. I would just steal the exact same picture and go, look what I took.
I had red emoji face. Hated it.
Okay. I don't even know who you are.
Emoji face.
Red emoji face? Now you're talking in emojis?
He's being Radio Eddie.
The angry guy. What does that mean?
What's up?
People keep quoting you on Radio Eddie, and no one even knows what that means.
Lunchbox invented Radio Eddie.
Oh, you are Radio Eddie.
How am I off the air?
Oh, totally different. Oh, I was so mad. I was a red emoji face, man.
Yeah, would you really talk that way?
No,
I'm curious too.
You tell me, Amy.
No, I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard you talk in emojis.
Thank
like
you.
If you were talking to us or the guys or y'all were having
like
a beer.
Cheesier and nicer.
Well, like, even your wife.
I do say bad words.
Red emoji face right now.
He tries to be way more pleasant.
Well, I do say a lot of bad words, so I would have said it pisses me off, but I don't really say stuff like
that. That's not a bad word. Pisses
well, I don't want to say that on the radio.
But anyway, lunch invented Radio Eddie, in case you're wondering.
So you started that.
No, no, you started it. Point. And I just comment on it.
Okay, well, thank you.
Because I'm emoji happy, happy face. Or I don't even know what an emoji is. There a happy, happy face?
Yeah, there's a happy smiley face.
Yeah, there you go.
Smiley face emoji.
You never use emojis?
Never.
Keith Urban comes in today. We'll talk to him. Some callers jumped on and got in the interview too, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thanks for hanging out with the show today. We are hitting it on Thursday. And anything you want to say, Amy?
I hope everyone has a great day.
All right, here we go.
And happy, happy emoji face.
Happy, happy emoji face.
See? You all like it.
And, well, if Amy said it, would be more of who she really is.
Amy never says that, though, off air.
Oh, yeah, even what? I wouldn't say that.
Oh, my goodness.
And away we go.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let go. We're transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right. Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Hello, Brianna.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. Starting us off early. Hold on, by the way. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Morning, morning.
Good what do
you,
morning.
Hey. Hey, what do you want to say, Brianna?
Oh, I'm a first-time caller. I just love the show. I listen to it every day when I'm driving to and from work. I'm actually in the Air Force, and yesterday I found out that I was getting promoted.
Hey, look at this here. Yeah. There we go. That's nice. Ooh, happy day. What's that promotion about?
It's just from senior airman to a staff sergeant, so.
So what does that mean you get to do differently?
It's more of like a supervisory role.
Boss people around.
From the first tier to the second tier.
I also enjoy bossing people around. Right, everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Watch this. Yeah. Eddie, pick that up.
Yes, sir. Got it.
I'm just kidding. That doesn't happen. Hey, congratulations, though, and thank you for serving. I really appreciate that. We all appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I love you guys.
When do you start your new job? Today?
Oh, no. It goes in increments, so I probably won't put on the new rank until next year, early 2019.
Well, congratulations on getting it anyway.
Thank you very much. And happy birthday to my friend Kaylee. She's 23 today.
Of course. What's her name?
Kaylee,
23. All right, thank you very much. Have a good day, Brianna, and thank you for serving. And that's good. That's a happy day.
Yeah.
Oh, one we could bring up, too, is Amy's daughter. I don't think you'll mind me sharing this. Said for the first time that she felt comfortable since she moved to America and has been adopted. And that was a good moment for you, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it was really special. My husband and I both looked at each other. We were talking about the dog that we were fostering, taking it in. We were like, we just need to make sure she's comfortable at our house. Sort of like the first time y'all came. You know, it took a while to, you know, feel comfortable. We still want to make sure y'all feel comfortable. And she just looks straight up. She goes, I'm comfortable now. And I was like, what? Like, that just, it's amazing. Because, and now, yeah, my son's sleeping in his own room. She's in her own room. We had built a bunk bed and now they sleep separately, which I think is a huge sign of they're comfortable. So.
Did you make a point to her to go, oh, that's so cool? Or did you just play it cool?
I played it cool.
Yeah.
I played it cool. Yeah. I was just like, I acknowledged it. And I said, that really means a lot. Because
did you cry
afterward?
That's
what we want for you. I didn't cry. No. But I mean, it definitely was a big moment for us because especially the first few months, her adjustment has been more difficult than his.
Because she was 10 when she came
to America? She was 10 when she came. She's got a lot more to her story, and there's just a lot going on in her little head. So, and I still think, you know, there's still a road ahead with that, but the fact that she can acknowledge and understand what comfortable means and know that she feels comfortable with us, it's pretty cool.
I was on FaceTime with Amy last night, and Amy's son was doing math, and he was not having it.
Mm-mm.
Meaning, he'll usually talk to me and dance and do it. He was doing math homework. He was not having it. Didn't want to talk to me. Didn't want to talk to your husband.
Yeah. No, it got intense. I think I'm going to have to get a tutor. My husband and I are like, oh my gosh. I'm like, just get a calculator. But
Amy and I are bad influences because Amy starts to walk away and I'm like, what does he math for? Who cares?
We
don't use math.
And then he's like, ugh, what's 6 + 8? And he's like, I can't do it. And then my husband's like, we don't say can't in this house. I'm like, yeah, we do. I do it all the time.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
It's producer Raymundo. The monster Category 4 hurricane's moving closer to Hawaii. Regardless if it makes landfall, it's going to bring 2 feet of rain to Hawaii. In TV news, The Big Bang Theory is ending. The final episode is going to air May 2019. And finally, in sports, football coach Urban Meyer's been suspended 3 games for how he handled his assistant coach's domestic violence allegations.
The Bobby Bones Show.
You said football's coming back or no?
Yeah, no, it's not really my favorite part of the year. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope.
Did you see it on TV last weekend?
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be on TV until, I don't know, February?
So what's that relationship like with you, your husband, and football?
He watches it. I try to watch it a little bit, and then I leave the room. I mean, it's not my favorite thing. I don't really like TV on. And here's the thing. I don't know if it's because, like, I have memories of my dad being home when I was a kid and, like, football being on during the daytime when there's other things that could be done. And my dad would just lay around and watch football. And I would try to talk to my dad, and he would ignore me because he's watching football. There's deeper issues.
Wow, listen to this.
I really feel like there is. It's a thing. Like, if football's on in the daytime, I get a weird feeling, and we have to... My husband, so a lot of times, my husband will go watch it elsewhere in the daytime. If it's nighttime, I don't have the same feelings.
Yeah.
But, yeah, really no football on during the daytime in my house. Oh, but wow. Now there's football season.
Well, I guess pretty pumped about it.
Yeah.
It's about that time for us.
But, I mean, I'm a cool wife.
Oh, gosh, yeah. On the phone is Larissa. Hey, Larissa.
Hi. I was wondering if we could get an update on Amy's friend who was dating the guy that kept taking the wine.
Oh, yeah. So this is what happened. Amy comes on the air one day and says, hey, this is happening. My friend and this guy have started dating, and he comes over and he brings a bottle of wine. They drink the wine, but then he takes it home with them.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
And so it kind of stopped there. I'm glad she called.
So, yeah. So they're not together anymore.
Oh, wow. Oh. Was the wine thing the thing?
I mean, I don't know if she could get past the whole thing. And then she started to, some people brought up that, like, maybe it was that he had, could have an issue with alcohol, and that's off the table. He doesn't have an issue with alcohol, but just other things started to come up, and it started with that, and she couldn't let it go. So she's not dating him anymore.
That was the thread that started the sweater pulling.
Yes. She started to notice other things about him. And I don't think it's that he was
unfair.
Why?
Really? It's unfair. Yeah. I mean, we don't know why he was taking the wine home. We don't. He would go there, drink the wine, he would take it home. And I know
that even if there was just like even if 4 ounces left,
I know.
He would take it. Like, just leave it there.
Larissa, your thoughts?
I thought maybe he could have been like an only child, and like what he brought, he wanted to take. Because, I mean, typically, I'm not an only child, but I'm the youngest, and so I pretty much grew up by myself, and so I kind of got some of those habits. So when I like take stuff to someone else's house, I'm like, oh, that's mine, like I'll take it
without having any sort of malicious thought. It's not anything evil.
Oh, I didn't think he
mad,
was
stealing.
Evil or malicious. She just thought, like, as the guy, she was not attracted to the fact that he could bring it over.
I wish they would have just had a conversation, though, because there could be something there. But they're not dating. It's not my life. I do so many odd, quirky things that I think if people judge me by something like that, I would never have a girlfriend.
Well,
by the way, I don't have a girlfriend, so maybe, no one's even telling me what I'm doing that's odd.
Well, I guarantee you, if you were to take a bottle of wine to a girl's house, you would leave it.
Yeah, I don't drink wine.
Okay. Hypothetically speaking.
If I were to take, let's say, a bouquet of broccoli, I would leave it there when I was done.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh, what if he packed up his food and, like, took the rest of his food home with him?
Larissa, thank you for the call. They're not together anymore. I hope that update is okay.
It is. Thanks.
All right. See you later. There was a story about a family. They were given the wrong ashes.
Oh, man, that's rough.
And it's rough to be given the wrong ashes, but then they went and scattered them.
No. Because you can get that. No. Because
so,
what about the family that...
That's
my
it.
Gosh.
That's the thing. The other family who didn't get the right ashes, their ashes are now spread somewhere else.
Oh,
and you can't
no.
go pick them up.
Okay, so when did they realize? And then do you have to tell them?
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah, because I feel like...
If you find out, though, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I know.
A Long Island funeral home gave the ashes of a dad to the wrong grieving family who then traveled thousands of miles and scattered the remains. And you feel bad for the other family because that was their dad.
Yeah.
And his ashes are spread. The heartbreaking mix-up was, quote, reckless and negligent and caused mental anguish. Yeah, I agree with that. All of that.
Yeah, that's
their job. That's their job. They messed up. Absolute mental anguish. The funeral home apologized, reviewing protocol to make sure it doesn't happen again.
You think?
That's a tough one. But I do think the spreading of the ashes itself is not so much about the ashes. It's kind of a ceremonial goodbye. I had to do it with my mom, grandma. And I think if they would have given me other ashes, I wouldn't have known the difference.
Right.
You know,
but
like
depending on if it's like where you wanted to spread them or say the loved one that passed away, like maybe they had direct wishes of like, I want my ashes to be spread here. And then now you weren't able to fulfill that for them because...
That's a tough one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Judge Common Sense is coming up. Got a relationship question from a listener. She wants me, Judge Common Sense, to help her with her life. And I'd there's nothing else I'd rather do this morning.
I know.
So Judge Common Sense. Oh, thanks.
Normally.
Oh, wow. Always get in with a shot. You know what I mean?
Bobby Bone Show.
Here we go.
Latest from Nashville and Hollywood.
It's the 30-second skinny.
Thomas Rhett and his wife, Lauren, are enjoying a vacation in Italy. Thomas posted pictures to his Facebook page of the two swimming in popular tourist spot, the Blue Grotto. Jason Aldean shared that the first time he met Florida Georgia Line was in his dressing room. He asked, "Who are you and why are you in my room?" But now Jason and the duo are great friends. Loretta Lynn is finally set to release her long-delayed album, Wouldn't It Be Great, with a September 28 release date. Here's a clip.
Wouldn't it be great? Hey, hey, wouldn't that be great?
I'm Morgan number two, and that's The Skinny. Come on.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Luther Younger is 98 years old, lives in Rochester, New York. He walks 6 miles a day to see his wife in the hospital.
Aww.
He says, "I ain't nothing without my wife. It's been a rough pull." Luther, a Korean War veteran, has been married to his wife, Waverly, for 50 years. Their daughters take care of their aging parents. She says, "Hey, listen, I can drive him. He doesn't want to wait for me to get home from work, so he just walks." And he walks 6 miles a day at 98 years old to see her. A GoFundMe page has been created for the couple to raise money for medical expenses and rides to and from the hospital. It's raised $33,000.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's awesome that he's 98 and is still, like, in
getting
love.
Getting his steps in.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, well, two different too. Things. And there you have it. That's Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Minneapolis, Minnesota. A flight was coming in for landing when the flight attendant was walking up and down the aisle. She notices, "Man, I see that gun on that guy."
Wait,
I call.
What?
She sees a guy with a gun on his waistband. She calls ahead and says, "There's a guy on board with a gun. Police need to meet us at the gate."
All right, where does this go? I don't know this story. Is it A, an air marshal, and she flips out?
That's what I think.
Oh, and it's like, what a bonehead.
Yeah. Or, again, just going through here, is it a guy that's wearing, like, a cell phone on his belt? It's not a gun.
Ooh.
You know, are either one of those right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably, yeah.
Which one do you think it is?
Okay. I don't know. I feel like the more of the bonehead would be that it's not even a weapon. It's just like a fanny pack thing.
Eddie?
I think it's air marshal. I'm going to go with A.
Like you, Bobby Phone.
Lunchbox, what is it?
It was an air marshal, so the police come on the plane, cuff him, take him off the plane, and they find out he's an air marshal, and she just forgot there was an air marshal on board.
Oh, I wonder why he just didn't say, "Hey, guys, we're cool. I'm air marshal."
Is that all you have to say?
We're cool.
Not a promise.
Well, yeah, guys, look, my fingers aren't crossed. All right, thank you, Lunchbox.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
Bobby Bones.
Char in North Dakota, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Awesome. Especially that you called. And you have a question for Judge Common Sense, I hear.
I do. All right. Hold on one second.
All right. Hold on. All right. Judge Common Sense is in the courtroom. All right, Char, go ahead.
So I started talking to this guy.
Yeah.
And he's a little bit older than me.
What are we talking here? I need the details. How old are you?
I'm 37.
And he's how old?
43.
Oh, that's not that. That's it. Okay, go ahead. I'm in with that.
So, yeah, a little older, not a lot.
Okay.
And he doesn't want to have kids. He's already talked about that. But I'm not sure if I do or if I don't. So, do I keep talking to him and get to know him, or do I call it kibosh? Do I kibosh it?
Okay. Here I am. I'm Judge Common Sense here. I have the easy answer for this. I would say the ages are pretty similar. 43 and 37, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's really no difference there in my heart on ages. Secondly, he doesn't want kids. Is it because he already had kids or just never wants them at all?
No, he just didn't find the right woman, and he feels like he's a little older now, and he kind of wants to retire. And
at 47? All right, you know what? Not my life, his life. And you don't know yet.
Correct.
Okay, so here's what I would say. 43?
I think so.
Here's what I would say about this. There's no reason to kill it if there's no reason to kill it right now. Meaning, you don't even know if you want kids. I think if you keep the dialogue open to say, "Hey, this is how I feel about the situation. I know you don't want kids, and I'm not sure if I do or not. And I want you to know that I'm not sure. And if I ever do, it could become an issue with us." And I think as long as you keep the communication open, there's no reason to kind of wipe something away that maybe there's no reason to ever wipe it away.
What happens if you don't want kids? What happens if you do want kids and he goes, you know what, I'd rather not lose you. Maybe I would like to have a kid or two.
Yeah, because he said he had not yet met the right woman. What if you're that woman?
Yeah, so my advice as Judge Common Sense would be, don't make something go away just because you're worried about what might happen. Like, if something happens, you need to make it go away, make it go away. But something good could happen, too. And that's Judge Common Sense. Doo-doo.
Wow, that makes sense.
Thank you. Lunchbox?
Listen, you're 37. Your time is ticking.
She doesn't know if she wants to have kids.
Right, but if there's any chance you have an inkling you want kids, you got to cut bait and find or freeze your eggs. I don't know how much. That's really expensive, though, so you better go find another dude that may want kids, because if he's dead set on no kids and you have an inkling you might want them, he's got to go.
That's it. That's Lunchbox's thought, Amy.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I was going to bring up the freezing egg situation just in case you change your mind. I have some friends that are late 30s that are looking into that.
All valid, but she doesn't know. I was presented as a judge as someone who did not know if they wanted kids. So why would you kill something that doesn't need to be dead yet?
Yeah.
That's my only point. And I've re-ruled my case.
It makes sense.
Again.
Again.
Yeah.
Twice.
How you feel about that, Char?
I kind of get that. I just don't want to lead anybody on.
You're not. If you communicate, there's no such thing as leading on, ever.
And I don't want to waste time. I mean, I kind of agree with Lunchbox, but.
Well, then you want to have a baby. Then's what I hear. If you want to have a baby,
no,
that's a different story.
I don't know.
Oh.
I honestly don't know. Ooh. I have an amazing niece and nephew that I love to death.
How much it costs to freeze eggs? Give my wallet, Mike.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
It's got the cash.
I have no idea.
Give my wallet. I got a promotion. Hey,
Yeah, it sounds like you need to figure that part out. Like, you're at a time in your life where that's super important to figure out.
Figure it out. No need to cut it right now, but figure it out and then make the decision.
And tell him you're figuring that out.
Okay, Char?
Yeah. Okay, thank you guys. You're awesome.
Thank you. Case dismissed. We're all winners in the game of life. Appreciate you. There you go.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah.
I keep the studio perfectly cool so we can all think. Would you guys agree with that?
No.
I mean, that's your theory.
You keep it freezing cold.
Well, Amy was telling me about something she read about the perfect temperature for productivity.
Yeah.
Oh. What does it say?
Researchers at Cornell University.
Amy, you don't even know where Cornell is. Where's Cornell?
Up there in the Ivy League schools where the smart people reside. They found that when office temperatures were raised from 68 to 77, typing errors fell by 44%.
Wow, I'm changing the temperature.
Yep. Typing output increased by 150%.
Okay, there's no way. I keep this studio, right now it's at
69.
68, 69, yeah.
No, we're working in a meat locker. Right now.
Yes, it's cold.
It's cold. That's why we can't type so fast. We're shivering, and that's why we have mistakes.
You know what? You're all free from no typing. Yeah, you're all... Don't worry about that, then. You're all good. No typing.
We're talking.
Yeah, but our teeth are chattering.
I keep it cold here. One, because I'm sitting behind an ancient board that just radiates heat.
When is that going to get not ancient anymore?
I don't know. Whenever I draw a new studio and build it. But for now, wear a hoodie.
We do, every day.
Me too, that's why I wear hoodies every day.
I have a wool blanket over me right now.
Over to Morgan number two with 24-year-olds.
Hey! What do 24-year-olds care about?
So MTV is reviving The Hills. They're bringing back some of the original cast, plus their spouses and kids, and I'm pretty excited about it.
I was looking at the list of people up, and Lauren Conrad, nor is Kristen Cavallari on the show, right?
Right. Correct.
Aren't those the biggest two?
Heidi and Spencer.
But I mean, wasn't it really about Lauren?
Yes, that's what it was about. But Audrina Patridge is coming back, and I think she's with Ryan Cabrera now.
Oh, really?
They've been together for a long time.
Yeah, they're still going strong, I believe.
Okay. I'm interested.
Do you remember Ryan Cabrera's song?
Yeah.
On the way down, see you, and I'll be on the way down.
You know who he used to date?
Ashley Simpson.
You know who Ashley Simpson is married to?
Now?
Yes, they're getting a reality show. Oh, no, I just forgot. Now I went blank.
Great story, bro.
Oh, man. It's some famous lady's son.
Google it up there. I saw Aretha Franklin didn't have a will. Did you guys see that?
I did.
Really?
And I was a little shocked.
Really?
Yeah, because someone of her, she had her own stuff to pass down.
Aretha Franklin, who suffered from pancreatic cancer and was in grave health in the days leading up to her death, had no financial preparations. I don't know what she had, though. I know she has a son, a special needs son that has to be taken care of, but I don't know if she had a bunch of money or if she gave it away.
Okay, yeah, maybe she did. Or just someone to be in charge of divvying it up, because it's not, if you die suddenly and you don't have a will, okay, maybe. If you have cancer, you start to consider stuff like that.
Lunchbox, who's Ashley Simpson married to?
Ivan Ross. I believe Diana Ross's son.
Oh, well, I don't know who that is, but I know who Diana Ross is.
Yes, and they have a reality show coming out. Oh. Get ready.
Okay, I am ready. Bobby Bones. Yeah. A McDonald's employee has been fired after throwing hot grease in a customer's face.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa, that didn't sound good. Hey, let's go to Mike D for this one. Hey, what happened here?
Yeah, they went through the drive-thru and they got into an argument. So the guy came back and then he told him to get out of the drive-thru and threw the hot grease in his face.
So wait, so the person that's working at McDonald's is the one who's at fault?
Yeah, the employee.
North Little Rock police say that a McDonald's employee threw hot grease in a customer's face. According to the police report, officers were called out to the McDonald's 10:48 p.m. Oh, I just wanted to go home. So I was driving through the drive-thru.
Yeah, because the customer changed their order and they got upset. So he said, you need to make up your mind.
Man, what happened to the customer is always right?
No, customer gets grease in their face. It's a new thing.
It's a new thing?
Yeah. The manager said a customer became irate and had returned and smashed the glass on the lobby door. Oh, I didn't know that, too. You got a customer actually being physically crazy. You didn't tell us that, Mike D. That's a different story. If somebody's busting the glass door, I'm probably throwing all the grease at him. Officers were called again to the same McDonald's to report that. Oh, that's just a whole bunch of mess up, huh?
Yeah, but grease, hot grease, no joke. Like, that can cause major issues, especially to your face.
Music helps you remember all kinds of memories from your past. If you've ever heard a song come on and you're kind of immediately swept into an old feeling by music, there's a part of your brain when you hear something, it actually triggers the exact same spot when you heard it the first time. And for just a brief moment, I've mentioned this before, all your taste, your smell, for that split second, it goes back to where it was whenever you heard it over and over and over again. And so I'll ask you, Amy, are there any songs that whenever I play it or if I mention it, you go, oh, that's the song that reminds me of something?
It's so true. 100%. Anytime The River by Garth Brooks comes on, I'm immediately in the back of my grandma's Buick with my sister in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm about 10 years old, and this song is on.
And you can kind of feel it?
I feel it. Yes, I'm there now.
Oh, no, be here with us.
Oh, sorry.
These waters. What else you got?
And then anytime I hear Tupac Changes, I am rolling down I-35 driving to Austin High. I had about an hour commute to work, and I would say, school. And I listened to this Tupac Greatest Hits CDs. There was two discs. This was on disc two.
So this reminds you of driving to school every morning?
This is sort of a song I would listen to kind of like just get in the school vibe. I don't know.
It was deep?
Deep, yeah. I loved it.
I asked myself the same question, and so for me, this one, Boot Scootin' and Boogie, because this girl named Carrie taught me how to line dance in the dorm room. I was in love with her, too. I was just like, oh, this, and she never would date me. But, so she taught me how to country line dance to this song in the dorm room. And I would use that, because I'd be like, hey, can you teach me some more? Because I only like to hang out with her. And so I'd act like I couldn't. Yeah, it's a whole thing. And then I took country line dancing as a college course and thought I was going to meet girls. And then I went, I was 19 or 20 and they were all non-traditional students. So it was all like 48-year-olds and 61-year-olds.
Oh, just trying to get their credit.
Yeah, well, they just wanted to go in country line dance. They didn't need credits. You could just go take a class. But that's what that song reminds me of. Also, I used to play King Griffey Jr. baseball. I'd go to school all day and then I would work all afternoon into 1 or 2 in the morning. And I would go and play King Griffey Jr. baseball. And I would listen to this Counting Crows album. Jeez, man. Whenever I hear this, I'm back there with my friend Matt. We just played King Griffey Jr. and prank call radio stations all night long. Lunchbox, you have one?
Oh, yeah. First time I ever heard this song, Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy, was on the way to homecoming dance sophomore year of high school. My friend Aaron's dad was driving us, and I was like, wow, and I'm in the back seat kissing my date, and I will always remember this song.
How old were you?
Sophomore in high school.
And the dad was driving, and you're in the back seat making out with your date.
This is the first time I heard it. And he played it. And so then every time we got in the van after that and his dad would drive us, he would play this song. And it'd take me back to that night, freshman year or sophomore year, making out with a chick in the back seat.
Are you sure it was a real human?
Bobby.
What?
What do you mean?
The girl?
Yeah. What year were you 11th grader, sophomore.
10th grader.
96?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, the song came out in 92.
Well, that was the first time I heard it, and I was like, man, this is awesome.
I'm 260.
He's a little behind.
260 for my shirt, so sexy. Yeah.
Hey, you can hop on, you can text us.
And I am
26229. Text us 26229.
260 for Milan, New York, and Japan.
Also, add the age. You actually don't hit peak self-esteem in your life until age 60 years old. And I think a lot of that, too, is as we read these stories that you kind of just don't become comfortable until you go, well, I got nothing else to really go for, so I might as well just be comfortable.
Yeah.
Because I read another one that, you know, a couple weeks ago that was like, you don't really love your body until you're 73.
Yeah, that was
weird. I think
you're
just happy that it works.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're just like, oh, I'm just happy. Yeah, a new study found that your self-esteem really starts going up in your late teens until about 30, but it really doesn't hit peak until age 60. Because that's usually the age when we stop giving a crap about what other people think.
Cool.
So, good luck, everyone. Terry in Pittsburgh, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Bobby. How are you?
Awesome. Can I help you with anything?
So, I was wondering, I've been listening to your show on the podcast, and I heard Morgan, too, doing the skinny. And I was like, huh, I know that Amy, when her dad was sick, she was filling in for her. But I was like, why is she still doing it? Amy's back.
I think that's a great question. So Amy's probably going to leave again to go be with her dad.
Yeah. So we've got radiation coming up. And then I also just found out, too, now they're for sure going to do chemo. So now it's going to be chemo and radiation, which is going to be pretty tough. So I'll still be, you know, the next few months are going to be sort of travel heavy with my dad.
So it's just a continuity thing. We're not always trying to go, okay, who's going to do it today? What's going to happen tomorrow? So Morgan, number two, is doing it, and she's crushing it, and everybody's good.
Okay, good. I just wanted to see what was up with that.
And Amy got demoted. Yeah. Nah, just kidding.
Yeah, and Morgan's doing great. Morgan, too.
What's up?
I said, Amy, we're praying for your dad.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
That's a good question, though. I think a lot of people wonder that. But yeah, thank you. Have a good day in Pittsburgh. See you later.
Yep, appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Actually, I have a button. I'll have to do that part.
You!
There you go. Here is Jessica, Amy's snooze button accountability partner.
What up, buddy?
Because a couple of days ago, they said, wait.
Good morning.
They said, we're not going to hit the snooze. They're big snoozers. And so, Amy, let me ask you first. Did you hit the snooze button this morning?
No, I didn't. I was up. That alarm went off. I mean, but I also have an accountability partner sleeping right next to me, my husband. Like, he'll tell on me if I...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if Jessica has anybody, because, you know, yesterday she said she was tempted, mm-hmm. but then she said this whole integrity thing kicked in and she didn't want to lie to us. So I'm curious to see how today went.
Jessica, how's that integrity?
Today is good. And I would say today was kind of like a big one because, as you were wondering, my fiance is a firefighter and he's on shift today. So this morning was just me. Still had those tempting thoughts, but I feel like the battle was a little easier.
So did you hit the snooze? Did you hit that snooze?
No snooze!
No snooze!
No snooze! Yes. Yes. I'm curious to see how she felt throughout. So yesterday was our first day of not hitting snooze. And they say that you ruin your day if you hit snooze. Like, you're just not, you're more tired, but you don't really know it. Did you feel better yesterday? Because I did.
I have to admit, I have not felt better, but I think that has a lot to do with the fact that I have not been sleeping well. I do anticipate that it's going to be more of a, you know, a healthy, more wakeful feeling later on in the week as I, you know, probably get more comfortable talking on the radio now that we're on day three. But I've been more proud of myself as far as like the, you know, the accomplishment now doing it. It's only been 2 days, but you know, the integrity thing, the stepping it up, following through, having the accountability, it's definitely making a difference. And talking to my sister, my nephew.
Support group. I like that. Yeah. Support group. Yes, yes. So what the story was, if you hit snooze, it's actually messing with your rhythm. Like, you're awake, you sleep. You're awake, you sleep. Go break, sleep. And so what all that does is it starts messing with you and you're tired all day because you're having to go in and out, in and out. So we said, hey, 5 days, don't snooze. Amy and then Jessica, who would hit it like 72 times a day. So that being said, we're at day two and neither one of them fit snooze. And I think you both deserve one more round.
Yeah.
There it is. All right, Jessica, keep it up. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes.
All right. Bye, Jessica. There we have that. Another day in the books. Amy, good job.
Thank you.
Proud of you. You know, something we talked about a couple days ago that people keep hitting me up about is when you get married, if you put on weight. And Eddie, I think, was the only one on the show that goes, yeah, I got fat once I got married.
Yeah, it's fact. It happened. Not proud of it, but I got comfortable. It happened. I ate more. Whatever. I feel like I've gotten a lot better, though. It's been 12 years since I got married.
So what was the point when you said, oh, okay, I'm married. It's all good now.
Oh, immediately.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the deal. Call us if you want, 877-77-BOBBY. If you could admit the same thing, that when you got married, you were, you know, I'm good. Nom, 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 nom.
Let's eat together.
If you can admit that, that's some honesty, and we like honesty here. So immediately you said, I'm good.
Yeah. Immediately, I just started having fun with life. It was kind of like, we're married. Let's have fun. Let's go eat everywhere we go and eat whatever we want. And yeah, man, I got fat pretty quick.
But was it fun or was it, I'm already in this. It doesn't matter what I look like.
It was more fun. And then, you know, the pants get higher and you're like, well, I don't care. I mean, who cares if girls think I look good? I got my wife right there. It's all that matters.
And she likes it.
She likes me thick. That's what she said. Not skin and bones.
Yeah, but don't you think she just says that?
Because I was already kind of there?
Yeah, maybe. Like she probably liked you however you were.
Maybe, but dude, 13 years later, 12 years later, she thinks I'm still good with a little bit of fluff.
Does she, though?
That's what she says. That's what she says.
What do you think about that?
Man, I don't think she likes it. She just put up with it.
What about you?
Oh, my wife is all about me. She thinks I'm a hot commodity.
Does she?
Yeah.
Does she tell you that?
She doesn't say hot commodity, but she tells me I look good.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, especially when I come home in my soccer shorts, she thinks that's really attractive.
Oh, she's a cleat chaser.
So, for sure, she says to you, oh, baby, when you wear that, like, that does it for me.
She says, you look so hot in that.
In your rec soccer uniform?
Yeah. Like, I guess it's my shorts and my shin guards. I don't know what it is, if maybe it's the sweat coming down my face, but she tells me, you look so hot.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's how I would feel when my husband would come home in his flight suit.
Well, there's a difference in not being a hater, lunchbox. But Amy's husband would go and fly planes in the military.
Okay.
And he would come home, she'd be like, yeah, it's pretty hot. You're not kicking a ball with men and women recreationally.
Yeah.
But he still can look like an athlete when he comes home.
That's right.
Maybe you're right.
Hmm. His Umbros.
With like a $10 uniform that the whole team gets, you know, probably cheap.
Don't let them hate on you, dude.
No, you hate him.
Bobby, don't deflect.
Deflecting.
Oh, you know what? Good for you, lunch.
Yeah.
Is it still hot?
Well, right now it's kind of cooled off a little bit.
Because the baby?
Yeah.
Cooled off or like ice cold?
Let's just say I'm in the freezer. I'm in the freezer because it's all about the kid right now.
How long should Lunchbox expect to be in the freezer, Eddie?
Woo!
Yeah, baby.
Let me think far back. It's going to be a bit. It's all her, whenever she's comfortable, you know, again, with everything.
A year?
Oh, no, not that long. I would say a couple months.
A couple months?
Yeah.
How you feel about that?
I mean, we're already almost 6 weeks in,
but the baby wasn't supposed to be born until now, so I think it's 2 months until now.
Oh, no.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, because the baby came out, it was
That's
premature.
Right, premature. Dang, so starting the clock whenever the baby was supposed to be born.
Yeah.
So next week.
Next week.
Yeah. So starting next week, you got 2 months till you get out of the freezer.
Oh, man. It's ice cold, dude.
Just wear your soccer shorts all the time. Break her out of that.
She won't be able to resist you.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Lucius Daniels has stage 4 kidney failure, and he goes to dialysis 2 times a week, so he's been trying to find someone to give him a matching kidney. Well, his daughter went and got tested. Her blood type was a match. Only problem is she was overweight, so she didn't tell him she was a match, hired a trainer, lost 55 pounds, and then she told her family, the reason I've been losing weight, really, is so I can give Dad a kidney!
Oh, wow. Look at that. That's a good one.
Woo!
And so she did, huh?
Yeah, so Dawn, they're scheduled for surgery in 5 or 6 days, the 31st of this month.
Wow, that's cool.
I like how he looked at his fake
always,
watch when he does that.
Always.
Yeah, it is.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Boneshell.
Here we go.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood.
It's the 30-second skinny.
Eric Church paid tribute to Aretha Franklin at one of his shows in Canada. He performed a cover of her song, A Natural Woman.
You make me feel... You make me feel like a natural woman.
Wow, that's good, huh?
Got goosebumps.
Yeah.
The Reputation Stadium Tour is now the highest grossing United States tour by a woman. Taylor Swift beat her own record, the 1989 World Tour.
Big reputation, ooh, you and me, we got big reputation, and you heard about me, oh.
Yeah, that's here in town, Saturday night, here in our town.
Big reputation. At the football stadium, note to self.
Oh, yeah, you're out of town.
I'm in Durham, Raleigh, Durham.
That's right.
I'm doing comedy. I'll be doing my own reputation tour. Bad reputation. I got a bad reputation. I'm telling jokes. People got a bad reputation. What else, Morgan, number two?
Elvis Presley's mobile home is going to be up for grabs in an upcoming auction this Saturday. It's one of his 8 homes, so you can buy it if you got the money.
I was watching Kacey Musgraves' Insta story. She went to Graceland. I'd never been to Graceland, and I'm such a music nerd. And it's only a few hours away. I should go, right?
You would love it.
Have you been, Amy?
No, but I would go.
No. Oh, I've been there. It's great, dude. Yeah. You would love it.
Really?
Yes.
Why would I love it?
Because it's just Elvis. It's where he lived. All his stuff is there. A lot of records are there. Some of his old paychecks are there. It's just a lot of stuff that you're going through his house. It's cool.
Next time I drive to Arkansas, I may have to stop over.
Yeah.
You love Elvis. I told you I had a girlfriend one time that didn't like Elvis, and I was like, I don't know that I like you.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
You did the right thing.
Yeah. I think that's what inevitably ended the relationship. After four years, it just ended up being Elvis.
Good.
Yeah. Is that it, Morgan number two?
I'm Morgan number two. That's the skinny.
Hey, what's happening, guys? You know, you get on your phone, you're always tinking around trying to find stuff to do. There's a lot of games, a lot of apps out there, but I'll say this, there's only one Best Fiends. And if you're like me, you're tired of the same old apps on your phone. And let me recommend to you the puzzle game Best Fiends. There's a ton, they've been saying infinite amount of challenging puzzles, thousands of levels to play, and tons of characters to collect. It's the perfect game to play whenever you want. You can play with family, friends, by yourself. Either way, you won't get bored. And you won't be using your thumb, going, there's nothing to do on my phone. The best part, you can even play without internet connection, so you can play literally anytime, anywhere. Morgan number two plays it before the show starts. I catch myself playing Best Fiends just all the time, sitting somewhere, play some Best Fiends. Give it a try, and you can tell me where you catch yourself playing Best Fiends. Download Best Fiends for free on the App Store or Google Play today. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends, and you can be part of the club.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. We're transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, nah, here he is.
Turn it up.
Over to Amy right now.
The Morning Corny.
Why do teenagers travel in groups of three?
Why do teenagers travel in groups of three?
Because they can't even.
That's funny. Oh. Come on. They can't even. That's a good one.
That was the Morning Corny.
I can't even. Mm-hmm. So the story was, when you get married, half the people put on a bunch of weight. I was like, what? You just give up. And Eddie goes, yeah, I did. Gave up. So I mentioned that. Here's Michelle in Virginia. Hey, Michelle.
Hi.
Talk to me for a second. What do you think?
My husband and I both gained weight. I got pregnant within the first year, so I obviously gained weight, and he gained weight with me.
Can I tell you the pregnancy? That didn't count. That's awesome weight. If you get pregnant...
She said he gained weight with her.
Yeah, he sucks. But rock and roll to her, to you. Don't.
Rock and roll.
I don't think that should have count on you. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm still like 15 pounds over pre-wedding weight, though, and I'm probably, like, I have no desire to really lose that 15 pounds.
Is it because you're comfortable?
Yeah, I'm comfortable, and, like, I don't know, I'm trying not to be so hard on myself.
Love it.
On my body, but yeah, I'm happy where I'm at, and I love my husband's dad bod, so that's great.
Here's the thing about people going, I'd prefer someone a little soft. If you gave the same exact person with the same exact heart and the same exact smile and the same exact... And you said, okay, this is the same. You'd pick the one that was in shape.
Oh, really?
The reason people go, I like him like this is because you like him. That's what it is. You like him.
Mm. So if he trimmed up, you wouldn't be mad about it.
No, you wouldn't
be
like, nope, honey. I need that belly back.
But Eddie makes it seem like that's what would happen if he trimmed up. That's
one time I had abs for a second. My wife was like, that's too much. You have to cover that up with a little bit of fat.
Tiffany, are you listening to this nonsense?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Tiffany in South Dakota is on laughing at this nonsense right now. Tiffany, what do you want to say?
My husband and I both gained probably 15 pounds. We got married last June. My husband's been a little more back and forth with his weight, but I mean, we've both gained weight, and we're both okay with it.
And if you're both okay with it, that's wonderful. It's just like Eddie. He just puts on a bunch of weight and goes, it's what it is. Like, what if one person's not comfortable with it? And, like, right when you get married, you go, I'm done. Like, it's over.
Yeah, that's not fair for the other person.
It's not
fair.
It's
really not.
Eddie, it's not fair. Thank you. Let me do one more. Let's go to Jessica in Georgia. Hey, Jessica.
Hey, it's Jerrica.
Oh, it is Jerrica. Oh. What an original name, and I bet you people do that all the time, huh?
Oh, yeah. I get called Erica, Jessica. Every Jerrica is the favorite.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Well, tell me your story.
No. We got married in April 2015, and since we have been married, I went from 100 pounds soaking wet to 165.
What's up?
What do you think caused that? Was it that you were comfortable, or is there something else going on?
Oh, definitely that we're comfortable. My husband, he gained some weight initially, and then he lost it, and I was like, no, gain it back.
Well, here's my only issue with all of this. Okay, here it is. Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't you comfortable right before you get married? Shouldn't you be super comfortable right before you get married?
But then also your wedding day, you have goals, you know, to like again. Look really awesome.
But again, why would you just want to look awesome for one picture and not for the rest of forever if that's your goal?
I don't know.
Like, I'm going to be comfortable before my wedding. Like, this is my comfortable spot. I'm going to be here before. If it's put on weight, if it's not put on weight. Like, why not get comfortable when you're supposed to be comfortable before you actually do it? Otherwise, it's like a trick. It's like you've lured them in, you signed the paperwork, and now let's rock.
Yeah, but you work hard. You work really hard right now. So once you find the woman of your dreams and you settle down with her, you're like, let's not work so hard. Now let's enjoy life.
Well, like this lady right here. Her husband started to lose the weight, and she said gain it back. Why? Because then she would feel pressure to lose the weight. So she was like, man, I don't want to work out, so I don't want you to work out.
Jerrica?
No, that's not true.
Jerrica?
Oh, come on, sometimes misery loves company.
Jerrica?
Yeah.
No, that's not true. I went to the gym for a year, like the first year of our marriage. I went to the gym, did everything right, and I still gained weight.
Well, listen, I hope everybody out there has their own place they feel comfortable and they love themselves. My point is, why not love yourself before you get married? Why are you trying to trick me? That's the point. I'm scared of myself right now. Everybody's scaring me. It just tells me that we're all going to get married and just give up.
As long as both people are communicating about it and happy, then and you're loving that person no matter what. But you can also use each other to get in better shape, which I think is what happened to me and my husband when we got married. And we hold each other accountable and we work out together, and that's good for us.
It's not even about being in shape. It's just be honest before you get married. That's my only point.
Okay.
Just be honest before you get married. Don't wait till you sign the paperwork. What's going on with people?
Tell them your plans. Like, I'm going to plan on getting fat after this.
Let me know. Let me know. I need to know this. Jennifer's upset with me in Tennessee. Hey, Jennifer. Hey.
Good morning, Bobby.
What up?
I'm so surprised in you. You seem like such a cool guy, and to say that.
Say what? After
they tricked you, and deceiving if they put on a few pounds after you get married.
I think that you're mishearing what I'm saying. The story said that people get married and they put on weight right after marriage. And I'm like, wow, why would you change right after marriage? It can be weight. It can be shaving your head and deciding to live bald after marriage. It can be full body tattoos. It's like, why not do it before you get married, regardless of what it is?
So now you're making it sound like it's on purpose.
Well, are you not purposefully doing it before you get married to stay however you are?
Well,
yeah, that's right. Come on, Jennifer.
I think when you're single, you have more time too, and you do the things to eat right and to work out and stuff. And when you're married, sometimes you don't. You guys, you know, you end up going out to eat together, and there's way more things that keep you busy as opposed to being single and have more time to work out.
I think that's a fantastic point. My whole thing isn't just about weight, though. It's about any change. Like, why?
That's what I was going to say, too. What if you get married and they become this awful alcoholic, or they become hateful to you, or so many worse things that could happen?
Well, that's what I worry about. Like, how do I know they're not going to stab me when I sleep?
There you go.
See, that's all the point. Weight was just the story, so that's what I ran with. And I hate that you feel I'm not cool anymore, because I feel I was never cool. So, yeah. Hey, Jennifer, thank you for calling. I think you represented a lot of voices out there that were frustrated with me, and I was able to explain a little better because of you.
Well, Well, I'm glad I could help.
Are you good? Your morning good?
Yes, it's very good. Thank you. Right. I'm dropping my daughter off at college today, so it's a little emotional.
What? Like freshman year?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
Where's she going to school?
Tennessee Tech.
Huh. And so, but that's close enough to drive. What's that drive at? Like if she needed on a weekend?
About under an hour and a half.
Oh, you're good. You can surprise her all the time.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. No, Amy. No. Don't give her that idea. No.
Oh.
If she wants to come home and surprise you, that's cool. But the other way's not that cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I kind of thought about that too, but yeah, I still might.
Jennifer, thank you for reaching out. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the perspective.
You're welcome. Thanks, y'all, for making me laugh every morning.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye. There you go. Yeah, I went for a run yesterday, right? I hate running. Hate running. And so I go, I need to get some stuff off my mind. I'm in a pretty stressful situation right now, professionally. I have some big decisions I've got to make.
Okay.
In the next 48 hours, like massive decisions, right? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I'm torn. And I go, I got to go do something to get my mind clear. And I hate running. And I don't know why I decided to go run. So I go running in my neighborhood, and there's no sidewalks, just small streets. I'm getting, cars are honking at me because I,
you're going too slow?
No, there's nowhere to run.
Oh.
I'm running on the road. Mm-hmm. And so my foot starts to hurt about a quarter mile in. Then my shoulder starts. And again, I'm just running. And my shoulder starts to hurt. And I hate all of it. And I'm like, I hate this. I'm running. My head's not getting clear. Actually, it's getting more
cluttered.
More cluttered. Because I got all this drama happening. And then I have a hurt foot and a hurt shoulder. And I've probably run like, I don't know, 7 or 8 miles. I feel like I'm running.
What?
I feel like I'm running a good pace.
That's a long time.
Been running forever, and I'm kind of exhausted a little bit. I'm like, ooh, should probably turn back in. So I turn back in, run back to the house, and I look at my phone because I've been keeping track of how much I ran. I ran 1.2 miles.
Oh. I was like, dang, you turned around for 7 miles.
You're exhausted.
It felt like 7 miles. Everything was hurting.
So you were out there for like less than 10 minutes?
Yeah, really. That's like two songs. But it felt like forever.
Yeah.
And so that's what
that's funny. I mean, yeah, I think you need to like let the endorphins kick in, and then that's when your mind will start to get clear. But you got to run longer than 10 minutes.
I don't get endorphins.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I never run and go, now we're talking.
Hmm. Oh, you've never hit a runner's high?
No.
Oh.
What is that? I live on a runner's low.
Yeah. Like,
but so, yeah. So there's not a place to run in my neighborhood, so I quit. I was thinking about like training for something.
Marathon?
Yeah, I don't know. Give me a little challenge with something.
Because you don't have enough going on right now. I mean, if you decided to train for a marathon, let's be honest, like you would have to figure out how to work while you ran. Because like, there's no way you'd get stuff done.
Me?
Yeah, you have too much going on. Like, you don't, like, if you had a long run day, like, if you had a 15-miler or, like, a 20, like, during your training, like, you would have to be hooked up to your phone figuring out, you'd be working while you'd be running.
I believe we are only as busy as the priorities we set. So, I think if your priority is something else, you move things. That being said, it's a little bit of stress. You know a bit of what's going on. I know you're playing a little dumb over there.
Well, I guess I didn't realize how taxing it was on you. I didn't realize there was a 48-hour, like, gotta make a decision, and it was causing you stress and angst.
Yeah.
Like, that's... If I can help with anything, let me know.
Yeah. Soon enough, you'll all know about the secret project.
Okay.
Can't wait. Here we go with that secret talk again.
No, there's no secret talk. I just can't talk about it. I literally can't talk about it. But it's been weighing on me a little bit.
I could see how it would, but I guess I didn't know it was as bad as I thought, so... Mm. Just think about it. Think about how if you got to make that decision in 48 hours, 40 hours from now, the decision will be made and you'll be ready to go.
How do I run and my shoulder hurts though? That doesn't make
sense.
That's weird. Yeah.
I feel like that's part of the stress. Maybe you should just have Eddie massage you.
I'm good.
Do you give good massages?
No. Terrible.
Oh,
probably the worst.
Speaking of Eddie, someone's on the phone that wants to ask if Eddie ever paid back for the football season.
Oh.
I'm going to grab that call coming up in a second.
Okay.
Eddie basically stole from a high school. But
From kids.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
So we finally found out a little more about Gretchen Wilson's airport arrest.
Tell me more.
We were on the show yesterday, and we heard that she was arrested at an airport. And so we're like, oh, Gretchen. TMZ obtained a video showing Gretchen Wilson getting escorted through the airport in handcuffs. She's surrounded by several officers. She's calm in the video. She got busted after a flight, fighting with a passenger over an airplane bathroom. We're told she was flying first class, There was only one bathroom on the flight. She got beat to the bathroom, waited, knocked on the door, exchanged words with the person while inside the toilet.
Oh, my.
And then got into a shoving match.
Whoa.
For the rest of the flight, she kept looking back down the aisle at the passenger, and the two exchanged threatening hand gestures.
Oh, no.
The flight attendant said, hey, you should stop that. She was met by state police when her flight arrived. She threw her hands in the air and demanded to be arrested.
Demanded?
Yeah, you don't have to demand a lot of things. Never to be arrested.
No.
Here's more like, okay, fine, arrest me.
No, no, she demanded.
Oh.
Yeah. She continued the bathroom beef throughout the roughly 80-minute flight.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me get a big hell yeah from the redneck girls like me. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
Wonder what those hand gestures were.
Yeah, I could probably figure it out.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, there's only a couple.
There's a couple in the
thing. Like what?
There's not a lot of hand gesture options.
I can think of two.
Yeah, I can think of one big one.
Probably the main one, yeah.
Oh, the throat slash?
Becky in Missouri, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for talking to me. What's going on?
Well, Bobby, I was calling to say how nice and handsome you looked at the ACM honors last night.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I know you wouldn't bring that up yourself.
Would not. Well, I was, you know, taking a risk. On my Instagram, you can see a picture of me and my... I thought it was salmon. I'm severely colorblind. But I thought it was salmon colored. I'm being told it's more of a lilac. I don't know the difference. Oh. But it's...
Well, salmon's pink, lilac's purple.
Yeah, so whatever it was, you can see. But I appreciate the compliment. I did feel a bit risky with my fashion choice last night, but
I liked it.
I feel like I tried to own it. And I went up and I presented Sam Hunt an award last night. He got an award, the Milestone Award, the Gene Weed Milestone Award for Body Like a Back Road. And so I just said a few words about Sam.
That's awesome.
And then Sam's crushing it, man. He's big.
Yeah.
Big, good looking.
You mean like ripped?
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
I don't know how ripped he is under his clothes. He's just large.
Uh-oh.
Just a very tall. And I'm a big enough guy. I'm 6 foot one, 60 if I'm soaking wet. Yeah.
Wet.
Yeah. He's a big dude.
That's you putting on about 10 pounds.
Becky, I appreciate that call, though. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Have a wonderful day. That's nice. Hey, Brittany in Ohio.
Hi.
Hey, you have a question about Eddie?
Yeah, so he didn't pay that football stadium or high school football team back from last year's game yet.
Yeah, I don't think so. Eddie went to a game with his kids, didn't have cash. They just let him in for free. Eddie said, I'll be back and I will pay next time, and you've never
Correct.
Been back.
Yeah, I never went back, so I never paid because I didn't go back.
Right. So now that football season is starting, he needs to go back, and then he should pay for another family.
I like
to
that.
Get into the game.
Whoa.
I do like that.
Okay, so let me open this up because I am planning on going either this week or next week.
Okay.
Do I pick a family of four like mine? Like, what do I do here? Because $40 is what I owe them.
Yeah, you got to kind of play it cool. Go in, you say, hey, I didn't pay last time.
Okay.
So here's the money that I didn't pay. And I like that, though, if you're okay with that extra 20, if for maybe somebody else is coming through who goes through the same problem that I went through.
Okay.
And if nobody went through that same problem, then just take it and donate it to the school.
Okay, I'll tell them that.
How do you feel about that, Brittany?
I think that sounds really good. And then we should have, like, video or audio or something that proves that he did it. So that way we know for sure that Eddie did what he said he would do.
Here's the thing about Eddie, though. He's very deceiving. Lunchbox was onto something when he said Eddie plays a different character. Because I said, Eddie drove over my light. I have a light in my yard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He crushed it, right?
That.
Well, his wife.
No, all
Thank
the
you, Amy.
One and all.
Yeah, technicalities. The woman I married did.
And Eva was like, hey, cool. I was like, yeah, we talked about it on the air. Should Eddie have to pay for the light?
Yeah.
I didn't think he should, but the vote was he should. And so he goes, hey, do I really have to pay for it? I said, why don't you take that money and donate it to the animal shelter? I said, don't give me the money.
This is a little shady.
I said, yes. I said, donate it to the animal shelter.
Well, that's really nice. That's
and he said,
that's
okay.
A good alternative. Nice.
The next thing I see is Eddie doing a celebratory picture of him donating money to an animal shelter.
He got like one of those big checks.
Yeah, he was like, look at me. And I'm like, wait, what's happening here?
Guys, I tweeted it out that you told me to do it.
I don't know about that.
Not being deceiving.
I don't know about
that. That was a good feeling to donate, though. It was really nice.
That's my money.
Yeah, and your idea. All of it.
Just playing. As long as animals get helped, I don't care. I'm giving you a hard time a little bit.
Thanks, dude.
But
no, you know what? And thanks to our listeners, they've reminded me of paying this football team, I don't know, for a whole year. So
yeah, people stayed.
Yeah. They stayed on that one.
Hey, listen, I'm getting hit pretty hard about talking about people when they people get married and putting on weight. It's not about the weight. It's about just changing once you get married in any way whatsoever. Like, I'm like, well, if you're going to change, why would you not change before you get married? Like, why would you wait till that point and then go, I give up? For whatever reason.
Because they can't leave then. They're locked in.
That's all my point. That's what scares me.
Right. That's 100% it. Once you're locked
in,
you're not
going to leave.
Well, it's more
difficult to leave, yeah.
Right. It's more expensive to leave.
More complicated.
Expensive, yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I popped off at somebody on Twitter. I probably shouldn't have.
What'd you do?
Well, they said, hey, whatever. They said, God forbid the woman you end up with. And I was like, hey, don't be stupid. And then I just.
And also, it is men and women who are gaining
weight. Yeah, it's something about women, something about weight. It can be anything.
Yeah. The study was just happened to be about weight.
I didn't do the study.
The weight is tough because you compare.
I don't want to talk about weight anymore.
Shaving your head and tattoos and all that. That's instant. The weight, man, it took me like months. And I was like, dang, I gained some weight.
No, some of these callers, I was looking at the call stream back there and it was like, within 6 months of marriage, I gained 74 pounds.
Yeesh. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm good. Everybody chill. Chill out.
Chill out.
I try for my heart to be good. And if it comes across not that way, my bad. You know? My bad. What can I do? Sometimes I say things, you may take it the wrong way.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
There's this girl named Aspen. She's fighting cancer, but she's about to turn 13 years old on September 1st. And she wanted to do a little something different for her birthday, especially since she's going through leukemia treatments. She told her mom, like, hey, I want a postcard from everywhere around the world. And so far, her mom has been able to pull it off by posting stuff on Facebook. She has a postcard from all 50 states, 49 countries, and she even got a postcard from Greece, which is pretty cool. But the postcard was from Tom Hanks.
Wow.
Yeah, he heard about it and, yeah, popped a postcard in the mail and said, hope this arrives in time for your happy 13th birthday. Love you.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. There it is.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Hey, Keith Urban's coming in the next 15 minutes. Did you dress up for Keith Urban or no?
No. Does it look like I did?
You look good.
Oh, thanks.
Are you wearing yoga pants?
No, I'm wearing jeans. But I wore jeans yesterday, too, ever since I wore yoga pants the other day. And you were kind of like, whoa, we might have to implement a new wardrobe.
No, I said we may be on TV. We have to, even myself, may have to dress nicer if we're on TV all the time on the radio show. It wasn't whoa. Again, that's Amy being sensitive and putting that on me so then listeners think I'm the one. Wasn't that her?
Yeah,
everyone?
Hey, now you're being sensitive to me making that comment.
Christy, you're on?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
What would you like to say?
Yeah, because I wasn't expecting a phone call back.
What would you like to ask?
I wanted to get a baby box update.
And what would you like to know specifically?
I want to know if Lunchbox started sleeping downstairs or if they moved Baby Box across the room.
That's a good question.
Like I've always said, Baby Box update, I wear the pants in a relationship.
Oh my goodness.
And so I am not sleeping downstairs. The noise machine is now on in the bedroom. The bassinet is still next to the bed. But the sound machine to drown out some of his is on, and I'm sleeping great, and everything's going well. So that's the baby box update. He's still in the room, but we're drowning out his noises.
So you won in your mind.
I made my wife think she won, but really, I won.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, look.
I think he wears the pants. I don't think he wears the pants. I think he does.
And I told her when I went to sleep, I said, listen, now this sound machine stays on all night. I don't want to wake up and it be off. Okay.
Alrighty then.
Christy, your thoughts?
Well, I think he's got it backwards. I think she wears the pants. I don't think he wears the pants.
Yeah, I think we all mm-hmm. think that too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate you.
The Bobby Bones Show.
So we do a segment called That's Rude, where we just read comments from people and they go, wow, that's rude. Don't worry, they're all about me today, boys and girls.
Oh, good.
Yeah, just hammering me over here. Jeff says, no man who wears a pink suit should have to wonder why he can't get a girlfriend. Oh. That's rude. Yeah. Wow. And it wasn't quite pink. It was salmon.
That's right.
Yeah, I wore it last night. Christine says, looks like you and my son have the same legs, but he's only 11. There you go. Yeah. Oh. That's rude. Well, listen. I do have thin legs. I do. I was on my Instagram last night, and I saw, and I almost was going to take it down.
Oh, no, leave it up.
I'm kind of embarrassed how skinny my legs are. I forgot that I was so bird-legged until I posted a picture of me in shorts, and then everybody reminded me real quick.
They're good at that.
Stacy said, not sure if your head's getting bigger or your body's getting smaller.
Oh, man. That's rude.
That's rude. Thank you. These are all messages to me. You drink Shirley Temples, wear skinny jeans, and own tons of shoes. I think you're a chick from Cody.
That's rude.
You want one more?
Yes.
Hey, I turned your show on for the first time after a new employee recommended it. Now I'm second-guessing why I hired them.
Oh.
That's rude. There you go. Well, what do you want to do now?
Got a lot of good ones there, man.
Oh, dude, I have a... Look.
There's more.
I have a whole page. I didn't even get to all of them. I just sit here and take shot after shot after shot. You want more?
Yeah, you got a couple more?
Yeah, Jonathan writes, hey, read your new book. Who knew reading can actually make you dumber? That's rude.
That's rude.
Yeah. Justin says, you give us nerdy guys hope that we too can end up alone and successful.
Rude. Dang, man. They go hard at you.
I'm a punching bag. I sit here and I give my heart and I try to represent the people that listen to the show best I can. I don't do it perfectly. You know, I try to be someone who represents people that feel a little awkward in this world and, you know, people that don't quite fit in. That's me. And I try to represent you. But it doesn't work out so hot. So, yeah, there's that. I saw The Big Bang Theory is ending. When it finishes, it will be the longest running, like, sitcom in history, beating Cheers.
Oh, wow.
Did you guys know that?
No.
CBS has decided not to renew The Big Bang Theory beyond its upcoming 12th season, which means the series finale will air in May. I like The Big Bang Theory. I didn't so much at first. I think I was just judging it before I really watched it. But I like it. It's funny. That Sheldon's pretty... You guys ever watch it?
No.
I don't get it.
You'd like it. Sheldon's funny on it. Yeah.
Is he the tall guy?
Mm-hmm. He's the one that wins all the awards.
Okay.
So 11 seasons in, it's still one of the biggest shows on TV. Last year, it averaged 18.9 million viewers, which is humongous. So it'd be a big, sad fanfare-filled goodbye because they're going out on top. It's been on longer than Seinfeld.
Wow.
It's had more than... The difference was there just are more channels now. You know, back in the day, there weren't as many
channels. I can't believe it's been the longest sitcom, though.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah, and like we
Cheers
don't watch
was the
it.
First. You want to hear That's Rude for Lunchbox? I got one just panned it to me.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you want it or no?
I mean, I love it.
Okay. Megan says, was I the only one hoping Lunchbox wouldn't come back after having his baby?
Well, that is rude.
That is rude. You want to hear one? This is from Trey. Can you do a Will It Uber where you send Lunchbox away and have him never come back?
What?
That's rude.
There you have
Man.
It.
Can we, though?
No.
Just get it.
So, like, even though they're that rude,
mm-hmm.
It's okay to laugh at them, right? Because they're kind of funny sometimes.
Oh, I laugh at all of them. You have to, or you cry.
Yeah, they're all pretty obnoxious. Funny.
Or you cry alone.
Oh, after the show.
Like Justin says on my That's Rude.
Go. On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Keith Urban.
He's walking down the hall, which, by the way, call us. He's going to be in here. Maybe take a call. 877-77 Bobby. There he is. Hey. What up, buddy? We're on right now.
Oh, are we? Oh
yeah, we're on right now. Put those headphones
walk
on.
Straight in. This is how the pros do it,
this
right?
This is it. We just hop on and be... Well, we try to be funny. Are you good, bud?
How are you? I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at you. Got a new song out that's good. Another new song out that's good.
Thank you.
We played it the other day. They lined up outside the building, showing support for it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Let me... He goes, hey, now, oh, now, oh, now. When the sun goes down, stars come out. I did that, too. Look at us.
Y'all felt that.
Yeah. Keith and I are very similar musically.
Yes.
He's good at making it. I'm good at listening to it. It's cool.
You're good at making it, too. Yeah.
Where do you play this in your set?
We open the show with it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I know that's important to you, your set list.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know about that. And it changes, right?
Well, no, it's not about me. Like, I don't talk about me.
I'm talking about, you understand.
I know what it is. There's a flow. There's an ebb and flow. Even doing a show like this, you got to go up and you go down, but you can't stay down too long. You got to get back up.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so that's what a set list is like, right?
Yeah. And, you know, you're trying to read a room before you've gotten to the room. It's crazy.
Do you watch the people and go, ooh, maybe they're not feeling it tonight? You ever do that?
All the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. You do a show and people don't feel it?
Not so much not feeling it, just like this was not a good place for this song.
Mm.
This song could have been later.
What will you do then?
Change it the next night.
You will?
Yeah. But then it doesn't necessarily work. You know? At the end of the day, right, you just try and put on a really good show. That's what you try and do. Use whatever songs are going to do that. Bit of familiarity, bit of newness. My thing's always been like, don't put too many new songs back to back. Ideally, don't put two new songs back to back.
Do you ever do a show
or unknown songs?
Yeah, do you ever and go, oh man, maybe I should have played this hit that I forgot. Do you ever? Because you have so many hits, you can't play them all.
No, it's the good thing is changing them in and out on different nights.
So you can do that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Slip one in.
Is there a microphone you can go to and go, all right, boys, we're going to switch it up. Mm-hmm. And tonight, we're probably just going to play Chumbawamba.
Yeah, man. Not so much the last bit, but yeah, definitely the first bit of that.
So is there a special microphone you can go to and talk to your band?
Yeah.
What's that microphone called?
It's just over by the drum riser. Actually, it's on the keyboard riser now, the little button on the bottom. I learned that from Chesney. Kenny was doing that. I don't know where he got it from, but... got to be able to talk to the band because you know everyone's on in ears, so you can go over, hit the mic, press the button, talk to all them without anybody else hearing.
Tell me about this song, this new one here. When the sun goes down, so I like from the beginning of it, I like it's like boom, bang. That's shy, right?
Beatboxing, yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty whenever you're making the record and putting that in there, I mean, that's a kind of a progressive thing, putting a beatbox into the beginning of a country song.
Well, my thing is that it's all rhythm. Everything's rhythm-based. I mean, however you paint that rhythmic picture, that's the only thing that's changing. But the foundation of it is groove. I mean, I grew up with Don Williams. That's, you know, Don Williams had that Texas stomp. That, you know, Waylon had it. It's all in there. Just paint the picture a bit different.
Come on, listen to this. Take a shot with the night out. How do you stay cool for, like, such a long period of time? Like, how are you still cool? I had like 6 months where I was cool and it ended for me. That was...
Nah, Bobby, come on now. I tell you what I loved playing in writing the song with Josh Kerr and Shai Carter and Jay Hart was just the organic fun that the song was written with, which you can feel it, you know? I mean, we had this cool little groove. There was a bass guitar. Grab the bass, start playing the bass, and then you start just jamming. And just sheer fun.
So you play the bass a lot. You play all the things.
Not all the things, no.
You play the big things that we see on. You play guitar, you play bass. I've seen you sit on drums and play drums. Mm. So you play a bit all the things. When you get in a studio, do you go, hey, what if we did it like this? Will you ever hop on the drums and be like, poof, tits, poof, tits?
Yeah, but I mean, but I, you know, it would be like, can you play it like this, but properly? This is the gist of what I want, but now play it like a proper drummer, which I'm not. But yeah. Paint the idea.
How's everything else going for you?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. How about you?
I don't care.
You good?
Listen, I don't care about
me. What's happening, Bobby?
No, there's nothing happening. Nothing. There's nothing happening with me.
You were...
Been hearing about the baby box. That's happening.
Yeah.
What kind of advice do you give him? New dad?
You figured out the sound machine, right? I heard that this morning. How's that working out?
Great. Yeah.
How did you get the idea for the sound machine?
Listeners.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good bit of advice right there.
You ever read listeners' tweets, emails, fan club stuff? That influence you in any way?
It's a mixed bag. Like, there's things I want to know as far as how to. What, you know, my thing is like, what songs do you guys want to hear? That's like number one. So I try and get feedback from people leaving the gig.
Oh yeah.
We take a camera out.
You know what I like that you do? I like it when you leave a show. And you shoot the video like after the show, and you're like, "Hey, we just finished the show. It was great, you know.
Right.
Appreciate it. Modesto. You know, you guys were awesome." And then you're like just chilling, but there's like cop cars behind you.
Right.
I want to get that cop.
Well,
car.
They're in front these days.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, it's
true.
It's
a better
different
place for them.
Switch it up. Hey, do you mind if I grab a call? You mind if I take a call?
Yeah, let's take it.
Hello, you're on the air, Courtney in Delaware. You're talking to Keith Urban.
Oh my gosh. We just saw you in New York and Philly. You are awesome.
Thank you.
And my question is, what artists most influenced you in your music? I saw you last year at the Joe Walsh show, mm-hmm. and you were just on the side, true fan. So I'm just curious, what artists most influenced you in your music?
Well, it's that was a fun show with Joe, and I'm a huge Joe Walsh fan, so just watching him play guitar is epic for me. I mean, so many over the years, and it's constantly changing. You know, I find just as many new artists that will make a record or record it, and I hear it and I love it, and that'll influence me, or I go and see somebody, you know, live. But way too many diverse artists over the years, definitely.
What about right now? Like, what are you listening to now where you go, oh, this is cool, like, I got a thing going here with this. You enjoy listening to it.
Oh, it's a mixed bag. There's that, what's her name, Lauren Daigle, who I just sort of discovered with, she's got a couple of new songs out. I'd never heard of her before, and I shazammed a song. I was like, oh, who's this? And love those two songs.
So you're always searching for the new stuff too.
Well, no, not so much searching. I respond to something, you know, like I hear something somewhere, anywhere, restaurant, wherever you hear music these days, everywhere, right? Music's everywhere. At the movies, you know, and I'm the guy shazamming stuff, trying to go, who's this? What's this about? And then I immediately get the song, put it into my playlist, and make these big eclectic playlists. And then that's the stuff I take into the studio. That's the stuff I take in there to writing rooms as well. I go, I kind of like this, kind of like that.
How did the relationship with Julia Michael start?
I first heard Issues.
So same thing, like you heard it, because I got issues.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, wow, this is a really great song.
Well, a friend of mine was involved in that whole thing, a record company guy, and he said, man, you got to check out this song by Julia Michael. So I listened to it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. It's so extraordinarily unique. You know, everything about it was unique. The song structure, the minimalism in the production, the lyricism, everything was just so fresh. Bask in the glory of all our problems, because we've got the kind of love it takes to solve them.
Wow.
Fantastic.
And then you guys did You're Coming Home together.
Yeah, so I started coming home with this guy called J.R. Rodham, who's a great producer-songwriter. And then I brought in Nicole Galleon to work a little bit with me on some fleshing out some of the lyric. And then brought Julia in to just run the ball the rest of the field.
Yeah, that Nicole Galleon, she wrote Tequila for Dan and Shay, is really one of the finest songwriters in Nashville.
Yeah,
right,
she's
now
a great writer.
Like, fantastic, right?
Yeah, really good.
Mm. You know what I see, too, that you do? You bring fans up, and sometimes they'll play songs and stuff.
Right.
But really, do you already know they're good?
Never. Ever,
they come
once
up and they dominate. And I'm like, that's Keith's cousin. Or something. Like Keith brought up his, you know, his nephew.
No, I can promise you, you will never find that out, because it doesn't have, it's real. It's legit.
Have you ever brought up anyone that was terrible?
I've brought up people that, yeah, were not.
Like,
yeah,
they want the guitar,
good,
and they get the guitar, and it's like, clown.
No, never had that.
Okay.
No, I've never had that. I've had people that weren't great singers.
And
didn't know the song, just kind of wanted to get up there.
Oh.
But that's what
that's
I would
awkward
do. I would
be,
no, I'm not.
What if you make it on stage with Keith Urban, and then you're like, oh gosh, I don't know the song?
I'll be okay with that, because I get on stage with Keith Urban.
Okay.
Like, that would be fun to do.
Yeah.
I got pulled up when I was younger. I did, I'm a big Better Than Ezra fan. I'm not,
oh,
sure,
right, yeah,
I'm not,
yeah,
sure if you know who they are, but
cool.
I sang with them, and I was pretty terrible, but I knew the words.
Right.
But for me, I just wanted to get on stage. That's,
yeah,
a lifetime thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Man. Hey, what do you think about
my
chain?
Look at you now,
look at me now. Look at my chain I'm wearing. What do you think about that?
What is that?
Well, so I said I wanted to be cool like Ryan Hurd and wear a chain, because he wears a chain. Who would?
Like a necklace.
I'm not cool. I'm trying to do cool to be,
yeah,
cool.
Ryan can wear anything and look cool.
But what are you saying about me?
Well, now you're telling me where the chain came,
yeah,
from.
Yeah. Do I look cool?
You look like Bobby with a chain.
Okay. So that doesn't. I'm testing it out right now.
What's your thing going on, Bobby?
Well, I've got it now. I feel like Bobby might start wearing bracelets like Keith, because I'm noticing, like, legit. I feel, are those diamond bracelets? Is that like a tennis bracelet?
What?
You know, tennis bracelet
tennis
is a diamond bracelet.
Well, that's just killed the whole vibe now, hasn't it? I'm suddenly seeing, what's his name, Riggs from the Battle of the Sexes. What's his name? Bobby Riggs, right? Yeah, crazy. I love that movie, by the way.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Do you believe that real story, or do you believe that it was
maybe, or that jacked it was, a little bit, maybe?
That it was maybe he had some gambling debts. Have you heard that? And
he's crazy though. After that film, I went down the YouTube rabbit hole to look at interviews with him. Legit crazy. Yeah.
Do you also subscribe to the theory that I do, that for people who make really amazing creative things, to make these awesome nutty things, you kind of have to be nutty all the time in your real life too? Like, you can't just be nutty in a select area of your life.
Yeah, certain artists. Particularly, yeah, absolutely.
Would you in your home life, are you a bit nutty? Does your family have to go?
I don't think so. You could ask my wife.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's relative, isn't it? It really is. I mean, there's times she thinks I'm just completely eccentric, and I think I'm being completely normal, so.
You guys have an interesting dynamic because you're both in the creative space.
Right.
Do your kids want to be creative?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yeah, Sonny makes these iMovies, like edits them, puts them together. We guess we got her this green sheet that she can make like a green screen thing and put things in the background, and she puts little films together. Now we just got her at this app where you can write scripts, so she's writing out these scripts.
Oh, wow.
The kids come up for play dates and they get roped into these films.
Oh, that's cute.
It's funny because you and Nicole are very high profile, but what I've been able to see a bit as you and I have forged a friendship over the years is that, and I don't think you'll mind me sharing this, is I was with you once and she calls on FaceTime and she's like, hey, I need you to pick up some groceries. And I was like, what is happening here?
Right.
Nicole Kemmons calling Keith Urban and saying, hey, you need to pick up some groceries from the grocery store.
Right.
Like, that's a normal everyday human being thing.
Yeah.
You guys are supposed to be like superstars.
We live in the burbs, and we're just, I mean, literally, because that's how we grew up. Even though she grew up in Sydney and I grew up in Brisbane, we grew up in the suburbs. And then I moved from there up to where we had a farm for maybe 7 years. So I had a mix of both, you know, ways of being grown up, and I'm super comfortable in both.
Everything's good though?
Yeah.
You feel good?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me do one more call. Hey, you're on the air, Nikki in Massachusetts with Keith Urban.
Hi, Keith. I just wanted to know if you had a favorite place to play.
Massachusetts. you know, on this tour, every place has been consistently good. But as far as, I think more so like a venue, and definitely the Ryman, I always cite that as probably the most magical place to play. And you've played it, Bobby. You know what it sounds like in there. It sounds amazing in there. So, I mean, as far as venue, definitely Ryman, my favorite.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thanks, Nikki.
Okay, thank you, Keith.
You're playing in town tomorrow night in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And so you feel pressure with a home show at all? Or is it like, hey, I get to finally show off what I've been working on to everyone who hasn't come out to a show?
It's more just the excitement of seeing a lot of people that I haven't seen in a while, you know. It's a large meet and greet.
I bet it is a large meet and greet. Do a lot of people hit you up? Do you ever and say, hey, I'm coming at the Nashville show, can you get me in more so than anywhere else?
No. A lot of people just come. I'm always amazed when people go, oh, I'm coming to see your show. And I'm like, oh, cool, do you need tickets? They go, no, where to get that. That always blows me away.
You going to Jay-Z and Beyonce tonight?
I'm not.
Oh, I'm not either. I thought maybe you'd be cool and go.
You were going to go to a concert a while back. Let's see, someone was in town on a midweek show.
And it didn't go. It was Ben Folds.
That's right.
Oh, and Cake.
I love Ben Folds, yeah, too. I just couldn't do it on a weeknight.
I did some engineering for him.
What do you mean?
So when Ben was, this is in the early 90s, and I was living in this, well, squalor house, somehow I got to know Ben through my manager. And this was in 1992. And Ben was writing songs over here at one of the publishing companies, Sony Tree, I think. And they used to give him the studio late at night to record his demos. And he called me up like 11 o'clock one night. And he goes, what are you doing? I said, just hanging out. He goes, you come down and press some knobs for me because I need to. And I said, so I got my car, drove down. And he went out and I watched him. He goes, okay, hit record. So hit record. And he played the drums beginning to end, stops, fills, the whole thing. I'm like, what is going on? And he went and grabbed the bass, then he added the bass, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And then he did piano, and then guitar, and I watched him build this track from the ground up, and it was amazing.
Do you know him still?
A little bit. I haven't seen him in a while.
Tell him I said, what up? I can't get him.
But he's insanely talented.
I know, that's why he won't talk to me.
Right.
That's why I'm surprised that you do.
No.
You know, there's always a limit. Okay, so Graffiti U Tour, if you're listening, how long is that on the road? How long are you guys doing
that? Till November 3rd.
Oh, you still got a bit to go?
Yeah.
Okay, so go check out the show. I saw the Instagram with you playing Marin's song before you went on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're. If you hear this song, it means you're about to come out.
We're about to come out. I chose it because I love Marin, but also lyrically, that's kind of what I'm asking the audience to do.
Meet you in the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Musically, just meet us in the middle, and here we go.
So go see Graffiti U. I'm going to play Keith's new song now. It's called Never Coming Down. It is a jam. Played it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. All these days get mixed up, but I love it.
Thanks.
Yeah, I love this song.
Bobby.
It's track 2 on the record, right?
Track two, yeah, Coming Home Ovens.
There you go. Yeah. All right, and this will be the first song he plays out on the road, and good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, you too, always.
Always good.
Likewise.
Let's go to Lunchbox. He's been keeping up with that hurricane in Hawaii. What's going on over there?
Man, they said it's a Category 4, so it's down from a 5. And 4, there's a million people in danger, and it's going to be the biggest natural disaster Hawaii's seen in like 26 years.
You know the bad thing about it going from a 5 to a 4 is it seems less significant. If it went from a 3 to a 4, we'd be going, oh my God. Yeah. Because a 4 is massive.
Mm-hmm. Massive.
But because it was a 5, we go, oh, it's getting better. No, 4 is crazy. Well, so when's it going to hit?
They said Thursday or Friday if it hits. They don't know if it's going to hit the land, but there's going to be a lot of rain, and they should have enough supplies for 14 days.
So today it could hit?
Yes, today. And they're right now the winds are 145 miles an hour.
Oh, jeez. There's a couple that proposed the same time at Disney. I don't know if you saw this story, but you know, one of them was ready to go. He found his girl, and so he's going to ask. They had a trip planned. They were going to Disneyland. And so while getting their photo taken in front of the castle, he had the engagement ring, and then so she pulled out the engagement. They were proposing to each other.
At the same time?
Uh-huh. They both proposed at the same moment. So look at that.
Man, what are the odds of that?
Boom. What do you think about that, her proposing to him?
I mean, I feel like that's just going to become more common.
I love it. I just love anything that's even and equal.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I'm not opposed to women doing it.
I love it. I don't think if I married someone, then I'd take my last name. If they, I just want people to do what they want to do, not because of any sort of tradition. Mm-hmm. If you love tradition, straight, follow tradition. If you don't, awesome. Just be you. I love that.
So if a girl proposed to you,
mm-hmm. Probably the only way I'll ever get married, don't
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's not so much about the proposal. I just love that things are starting to just be things.
Shift, yeah.
Just, it's, we're all in this thing together. Why does a guy have to propose every time? Why, go ahead.
Well, I mean, because some of us do like certain traditions. Okay. Not all, but great. Certain traditions.
And nobody's hating on that.
Yeah.
You can have your tradition. Mm-hmm. But for me... Yeah, I wouldn't mind it so much. I like to get flowers. Yeah, say what you will about me. Oh, when someone sends me flowers, I'm like, this is pretty cool.
Be nice.
Oh, boy.
Am I a chick?
Yeah, pretty much, man.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Maybe that's just...
Folks, it's your buddy and mine.
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
Yeah, let's go. And hit the news with Amy.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
Snoop Dogg is releasing his first cookbook, and he's calling it From Crook to Cook. And it will feature 50 of Snoop's favorite recipes, like baked mac and cheese, chicken and waffles, baby back ribs, and everything's going to be organized by occasion. So he's got meals and occasions, like when's the best time to serve this, and it'll highlight some of his entertaining tips and even include his favorite gin and juice recipes. You're into that.
Do you guys like gin and juice?
Isn't that just gin and juice?
I know what it is, but again, I've had alcohol.
What kind of juice? What brand of gin?
Is that a good thing, gin and juice?
I don't know.
I've never had it, Bones.
I've never had it.
No.
Wow.
I've never been...
I would have all the hip-hop songs if I drank.
Would you?
Oh, I would go on the tour. You know how they do pub crawls? I would do the hip-hop tour crawl.
Cezura.
Yeah. Oh, man. You'd be drinking a lot.
maybe not all at once. Okay. I would go through that, though. Yeah.
That's cool. It's not a bad idea.
No gin and juices.
No gin and juice, man.
Never. And I've never had the purple drink or the...
I've had purple drink,
Blade.
Kind of.
Which one?
Well, when I get sick, because all it is...
Diamond Tap?
Syrup?
Yeah. Cool. It's, What's it?
Tussin?
No. It's actually... If I get a really bad cough, my doctor gives it to me.
Triaminic?
And what they do is they pour it in...
No, oh, hydrocodone?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's what it is?
Oh, yeah. Mixed in with something else, like a drink.
What makes it purple? The drink?
Grapes.
Grape Kool-Aid?
Yeah. What else, Ann?
So, there's something all over Twitter right now called the Pizza Rito. And it's like it sounds. It's a pizza burrito. And there's this place in New York that's selling it. Could catch on. You can find it around the country. Don't know. But it's a 7-pound pizzerito, rolled up pizza, stuffed with pasta, mozzarella sticks, and more. And obviously, like, Italian food lovers are loving it. It's definitely a carb nightmare. And then lastly, ASOS. It's a fashion company that sets a lot of trends, sells a lot of cool things. And just a heads up, they're now selling crop tops for men, which are half shirts. Like, I'm kind of wearing a little crop top-ish shirt today. A lot of girls wear them. But now they're making them for guys.
Mm.
Something you'd be into?
No.
So we show our belly
buttons? No belly shirt. Oh, yeah. It for sure shows your belly.
This leads me back into the question that we were talking about on the post-show, pre-show a couple days ago, to where if you wear something, let's say I was wearing a tiny tank top, okay?
Yeah.
And a girl was checking out my body. Could I get upset because I am wearing the tiny tank top? Or the reference I used was Amy was wearing yoga pants, and she said her husband didn't like her going to walk down the street in yoga pants.
Yes, yes.
Because the guys would look at your butt.
Yeah.
But if you're wearing it and it's out there, can you get mad at someone for looking at it? My answer was no. If I'm in a tiny tank top or someone's in yoga pants, if you're wearing it, you can't get mad at someone for looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I guess you're right. You can't get mad, but you can also expect people to have self-control with their eyeballs.
No. No.
It's hard.
Sorry. Like if you're at the beach and they're wearing a string bikini, and you check them out, and they get mad.
A string bikini.
No, I'm just telling you. You are wearing that because you want eyes on you.
Maybe,
that is
well, maybe it's a suntan thing, too. I mean, there
stop.
Are, but my point is, if you're wearing it in public, you're wearing it, and people see it in public, so you almost can't get mad. If I were out wearing a thong,
yeah,
I'd be like, ooh, stop looking at my pee-pee.
It's mm-hmm.
Like, I can't do that because I'm the one wearing like the banana hammock.
You chose
right.
to wear it.
Yeah.
If they wear a push-up bra in a short top and then you're looking, why are you looking at my chest?
Well, then it's just like, don't see it.
There's like a respect
there is.
Thing.
There's a human part that comes
I
into
understand,
it.
But they are pushing them out of their shirt so you'll look at them.
All my question was, if you're wearing yoga pants and you catch a guy looking at your butt, are you like, stop looking at my butt?
Yeah, stop looking at my
but
butt.
But what if you're wearing tight jeans and a guy looks at your butt?
Stop looking at my butt.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm not going to be mad at you, but like if you're looking long enough to where I can catch you, like
so you want us
you
to look and not be caught. Is that
you said,
okay?
Okay.
This is what it really
I mean,
is.
I don't want you to look. You don't have to look at me, but if I'm wearing jeans.
But
like,
if you're wearing tight
but
jeans.
I'm
like,
wearing, but that. But what's it? What that's what looks good. Like I love high-waisted. Right now, my jeans are high-waisted and tight, but
I'm
they
not
fit
asking,
good
I'm
to me.
I'm just asking a question. I'm not imposing any opinion here.
Yeah.
If you're wearing jeans that are supposed to make your butt look good and someone looks at your butt, are you irritated?
I mean, if you're looking in an obvious long manner.
But if you just, if a
if,
guy just
if
glances,
I don't know you're looking, yeah,
you
then
care.
You're doing it right.
Okay. So just don't get caught.
But like,
so what we learned is I'm at just asking.
But yeah, I mean, we wear clothes because we want to look good, we want to feel good. And so, yes, I think most girls would rather a girl compliment them on their outfit
but
or their look or
pick.
Their body.
Do you get, no,
you
not, not complimenting.
Oh.
But if you're wearing yoga
sometimes
pants.
Sometimes guys go.
No, they don't.
That's cat calling.
They don't. No, they don't.
Yes, they
no,
do.
They don't.
They do that to you, Amy?
No, they don't. No, they don't. See, this is what I'm talking about.
They don't do that.
Sometimes, like, inappropriate guys that cannot control themselves.
But
they
none of our
whistle
guys
it,
would do that.
None of us do
none
that.
None of y'all, no. But I mean, as any woman can tell you, anytime she's been walking down the street at
well,
some point in her
not
life,
happen.
Someone has rolled down the window and been like.
At some point, but that's not.
Or I've gotten, hey, girl, you married? Yeah.
Uh-oh. What about you see a girl and you honk the horn and just give her a wave?
What's wrong with that?
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Is that
okay?
A
nice greeting.
You're married.
No, I'm not saying me.
Yes, oh, asking for a friend?
Yes, I'm asking for a friend.
Asking for a friend. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I just
anyway.
Wondered what the rule is.
I know. And it's such a weird thing because it's
so
like,
there
yes.
is no answer.
No, I think
she
you're
said,
right.
Don't get caught.
You can look,
yes.
but don't get caught.
It's rude to look long enough to where you're getting
so don't
get
stare.
Caught.
So what?
Don't
if, but
stare.
what if you just catch like a quick like someone doing a quick glance. And you catch the quick glance, and the guy tried to pull his head back away. Or someone's looking at my banana hammock.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Okay.
Too fast.
That's why I wear shades. Can't get caught.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Hey, today I have someone coming over to install curtains. How adult of me.
Oh, that's very adult.
I know. So that's exciting.
You're going to get your privacy on?
It kind of already is, but my curtains are just old and gross.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just getting some new curtains put in. So that's my big exciting part of the day. I'm going to go box and actually have my first normal day for a long time. And then tomorrow I'm back on the road again. But today's my one day off, where it's not really a day off. I just do one job.
Nice.
Yeah.
Instead of five.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. What's up with you?
Well, when we finish this, I'm going to meet my pregnant friend for a workout. It's kind of my easy workout. Now that my friend's pregnant, we do like a beginner series. So I kind of look forward to it now. It's not as hard, but also just enjoy catching up with my friends.
Do you ever jump on the trampoline still?
Because
Amy has a little
much.
Trampoline in her house.
Yeah, the little mini workout one. Mm-hmm.
Didn't you say you used to jump in it? You'd pee a little bit every time?
Oh, well, yes. It makes you have to go pee.
But you're,
it's like a thing, yes. Yeah, and I'd be like, it's an issue for a lot of women. So, yeah, don't just pick on me. Okay. I bet if you jumped on it, too, you'd probably pee a little bit.
Is the Sore Losers podcast still running?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's running.
You can search Sore Losers podcast and hear the sports show between Lunchbox Eddie and Raymundo. You finish the show, you like sports, go check that out. We will see you on Friday's show. Tomorrow, Granger Smith will be in for the Friday morning conversation and the dance parties, obviously. Hope you have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Bobby Bones.
You can find us on Facebook, too, at Bobby Bones Show.